by invoking the inner friend. Just let yourself do that, invoking the inner friend. Just that very simple and natural act allows everything except the inner friend to be objectified. So the witness, the buddhi, as an inner friend, objectifies naturally all the states of mind or all of the different types of thoughts or vrittis that are passing through. Your mind immediately becoming free, the buddhi immediately becoming free of those thoughts and emotions. Because they become objectified. And at the same time, by that simple act, my buddhi becomes very close to me, to my nature. Because of that attitude of friendship, of care, of love, of welcoming, your buddhi becomes like a spokesperson for the Atma, for yourself. It becomes a voice for your own nature. So just in the presence of the buddhi as the inner friend, let your body relax. A body which is loved and accepted and respected, appreciated for the miracle that it is that you even have a body, that gratitude. All natural feelings and emotions for someone that you love. If you think about it, we can only really relax in the presence of those who care about us. When your buddhi is an inner friend, then your body is free to actually deeply relax. It is safe to relax. As your body continues to relax, again, focus just on your mind, the thoughts, feelings, emotions, worries, whatever is going on in the mind. Let the buddhi, as an inner friend, be present to all of those feelings. Feelings and worries, concerns, thoughts that are actually welcome. You can be with me. How can I help? Your mind learns that it need not fear you. Because you're a friend, because you care, because you have respect and gratitude, because you only want to help if there's a problem. The mind. Trusts you. Your feelings trust you. The one who makes mistakes or blows it in one way or another trusts you as a refuge, as someone who can help. Oh, let's just let the mind relax in that trust as it goes on discovering that I am a friend, not an enemy. I want to help, not hurt. The buddhi speaks for herself. The unconscious, the little ones inside, will also discover love and trust for you, because you love them, they are free to love you. And so with that inner friend, that attitude, just direct your mind in a sense toward your unconscious or the little ones who are there inside. Whether you know they're there or not, I'm sure they are. And you just say something like, if you've done this before, you know how to be with them, but you can just do something simple like say, is anyone inside have anything they want to tell me? And just relax and kind of make room and see what comes up. If you've never come into relationship really with your unconscious or the little ones, like all the little ones, because we take in so much when we're very, very young. Because the buddhi is not really processing or making decisions about right and wrong, or doesn't know really how to handle scary or traumatic or hurtful events. Your defense system just naturally takes them into the unconscious and tucks them away until a later date when you can handle them. So now you can handle them. Does anyone inside have anything to say? And then just be present and see who comes up, and be a good parent, be a good mother, be a good father who loves them and is interested and wants to hear their story. Be a good listener. Be a good parent. One Swamiji told me, we all need to be loved, we need to be liked, and we need to be respected. He was talking about in intimate relationships toward your partner, you should love them, you should like them, and you should respect them. And that is a beautiful marriage. But in another sense, it's how we should be toward our family, toward our friends, toward all beings. We can always find something to like, something to respect. Say you turn that toward the little ones, then they feel trust to talk with you. Could say, does anyone inside have anything to say? That's one way to enter. Another way is if you have any emotion, to then gently focus on that emotion and say, tell me what's really happening? Why are you feeling hurt or sad or isolated? Unloved. Tell me what it is. Let me help. So give us some time now to do that. Sometimes what we call inner child work, I always say, just to be with your little ones inside so that they can be freed actually from being sequestered in their unconscious. You're actually bringing them to consciousness by coming in and coming into relationship with them. continue being present, having inner conversations with little ones or with other parts of your psyche that are asking to be heard. You being an inner friend. Letting yourself develop inner relationships. Gently turning your focus toward your own presence, toward yourself. Being yourself. Not leaving the little ones behind. Let them enjoy and be filled with your own being, which is their being. Feel your chest, your heart, the opening into your own presence. feel the little ones being held by that deepest sense of self. Feeling your heart expanding is actually their hearts expanding with being cared for, with love, with being allowed to come and be with you. Feel your chest, your heart relaxing, giving up its constrictions, just relaxing into your own beautiful presence. So the body, the heart, your psyche is just expanding, expanding in relaxation. The self that you are, just be that. Let whatever feelings or perceptions or thoughts, let them come and go. You just be yourself. mistake, but that's good. Bhagavan Gita's have been really great in terms of our being able to re-raise ourselves or to really heal hurts or unconscious things that we're holding inside. He gave us a way to be with our mind, and it's so simple. It's such a simple thing, so easy, so natural. I consider it just such that we were given this. It means that whatever the hurts are, and on the traumas that we went through when we were little, and even when we get older, there's a way of we were given the tools to be with ourselves, with our unconscious and the little ones inside, and all the little traumas that we've gone through. We've been given a way to be with that, to heal it, to actually, you know, re-raise ourselves, you know, to bring those parts up in the way that would have been nice if it would have happened that way originally, you know. But parents, as wonderful as they are, they can't do everything right. It's not possible. They all try. We all try. If you're parents, you know. You try. You do your very best. And still, things go on. You know, that's how it is. But we can heal all of that in such a beautiful way. So I'm just going to kind of give some, I don't know, just talk about it more on an intellectual level, just so that your mind kind of really understands what's going on. Your mind has different capacities. Like, for instance, it has memory. You're able to remember, you're able to recall past experiences. That's a capacity of your mind. Your mind also is something which handles all of your feelings and your emotions. That's called the manas. It's just the mind that's kind of going on by itself. You know, associative thinking, feelings, emotions, perceptions, they're just kind of coming and going. It's not, you don't really have much to do with it, actually. It's kind of a flow that's going on. And then you have your buddhi, right? The buddhi is the one who, you can say, is kind of like the observing witness of the mind. It's in reference to the mind in subject-object relationships. It's the one who is the subject. Like, I can be aware of my thoughts. But the Atma is just awareness. But I can come into, the buddhi can come into relationship with all of my thoughts, with all of my feelings. It can come into relationship with my unconscious. It's like, I am aware of my thoughts. I am aware of my feelings. I am aware of the little ones inside. That's a capacity we have. And so the way, in the healing way, we can use this wonderful capacity is that when I become overwhelmed by an emotion, then I just am that emotion. I become overwhelmed by a hurt. Then the buddhi actually is not really functioning at that time. It's just overwhelmed by the feeling, by the emotion, by the hurt, by unconscious material. And then it can actually be speaking out of that unconscious material. Instead of objectifying it and becoming aware of it, like say you're feeling very hurt, your buddhi can objectify that hurt and come into relationship with it. Can be an inner friend, it can be helpful, and then you'll find that the manas, the one who's holding that, the mind that's holding that negative, the type of mind, the part of the mind that's holding that negative hurt or whatever, now has an inner friend, you know, that is very healing just by your presence because of that love and care and respect and giving the benefit of the doubt that, okay, you can be with me, I love you, tell me what the problem is. That type of kindness can easily, by coming into relationship with whatever the feeling is, all of a sudden you're your buddhi is free of it and becomes a helper, becomes someone who cares. And the buddhi, the one who is free of it, then becomes really a spokesperson for me, for the self, the beautiful self that you are, that deep peace, that deep love that doesn't have any, that is not something that you can do anything about. That's just who you are. And so once you can objectify or even know to come into relationship with your feelings rather than just be them, then those feelings have an inner home, you know. They have an inner sanctuary. They have a place to go. There's somebody, as the inner friend, there's somebody inside who loves you, you know, who respects you, who gives you the benefit of the doubt. And even for little children need that. They need to be loved, but they also need to be liked. You can love somebody and just think, and not really like them. I love you, but I don't like you. They need to be loved and liked, you know. Just think about yourself. You want your parents to love you, you can take that for granted. Like a lot of us will sometimes say, well, my parents really loved me, but, you know, it's not that they liked me that much or respected me that much. So you can give them, you can take care of all that. You can love those parts. You can like them. You can respect. Because it's you. You understand yourself. You are the one who is the little one. You know? You are the one that, like all children are so innocent. They should be just loved for who they are, how they are. Not that they have to do anything to earn your love. Just by the bare fact that they're there, they are loved. That's it. There's no condition, you know. They're loved because they're there, you know. You love them and you like them. And that respect, you know. Sometimes we don't think so much about respect, but respect is really important. Giving the benefit of the doubt, knowing that they're a good little person, you know. That they're doing the best they can, a wonderful little child, you know. And they just need to learn, they need your help, and, you know. We can now give all of that to all of the parts of ourselves, the unconscious, like if you ask, you know, does anybody have anything to say? They hear you, you know. You're unconscious. If you're directing your attention to your unconscious, to the little ones hear you, do that. The unconscious is not inert. You can come into relationship with all of those parts of yourself and give them what they didn't get, you know. You're giving them what you didn't get. You're giving them, you know, the things that if your parents had been aware at that time, would have loved to have given you, if they could have, you know. You can do it, though. And then you'll feel all of these little ones inside kind of, you know, relaxing and opening up and finding somebody inside who really cares. And they'll start to come forward and they'll release a lot of pain and, you know, feel great relief. And in those little parts held in the unconscious will actually join the conscious mind as they release all of the pain and whatnot that has caused them to remain sequestered in your unconscious. They slowly release all of that, and then you find they just become part of you. You know, it's like you're collecting parts of yourself that have kind of been sequestered, energy, prana, that has been taken away and sequestered in the body because it's riddled with emotion that you couldn't handle when you were little. And so as far as the defense system is concerned, it just thinks, okay, we have a job to do and we'll do it for the rest of your life. We will hold these things inside, you know, forever. That's our job, you know. But once you come inside and say, come into relationship, then, you know, you can also tell your defense system, it's okay, some of us, yeah. You don't have to do this job anymore. I'll take care of it now. You can relax, it's okay. You know, you can have these nice, beautiful conversations. And what happens is your whole heart opens up because these these experiences are really held in your body. You know, the unconscious, we think, we feel that your unconscious is held there in the body, and so there's a lot of stress and tension, especially in your heart and your abdomen and your stomach. These areas, there can be a lot of tension because the body is working, the unconscious, the defense system is working, just hold everything inside, so you don't have to experience it, because you couldn't experience it when you were little. It's too way too much. You didn't have the capacity, so we'll take care of it. Now you can go in and you can start developing beautiful relationships with all parts of the unconscious, and deeper relationships also, as the little ones need to be taken care of. They need to be taken care of first. Because you try to go deeper and they'll say, what about me? But what about me? Even you're trying to meditate, but what about me? What about me? Do me first. Be with me first. So it's really nice to say, yeah, I will be with you first. I will be with you first. And have your part of the meditation, the first part of the meditation, and sometimes it can go on for a while. It's the whole meditation. Because those parts of your psyche need some time. And they let you know that, and then you say, give them the time. Just give the time, you know. Don't worry about doing anything else. Give them that time and let them relax and feel loved. And then they'll be fine. It doesn't take that long, actually. You know, maybe it takes a few months or a year of, and then a year, a few months, a year, and then forever. You know why forever? Because now you know. You have inner relationships, you have outer relationships. Your psyche isn't walled off, you know? And so all of the emotions, in fact, all of your emotions you come into that relationship with, that they have a home. It just becomes absolutely natural, just a natural way of being. So you're no longer projecting everything out on everybody else, and you have an emotion or reaction, the first thing is that you come into relationship with it, you know, so that you know really what's going on, and it's a beautiful thing. It just gives you so much space inside. So this type of inner work, and as we'll see as we kind of move on over the week, outer work also, because what is inside is also projected outside. So we think it's outer work, but actually it's inner work, right? Because we project until we come into real relationship with all the issues that are going on inside in the unconscious. Those things are projected out, and then I come into relationship with that kind of projection externally that unfortunately has landed on one of you. So, you know. So by doing the inner work, actually we're sparing the world. You know, it allows you to have much more love and kindness and objectivity toward the world also. But because those projections are there, doing this outer work with our enemies, the people who make us miserable, the people that we don't want in our life, the people that we avoid, or the people that we're angry at, learning how to do some work in reference to those people is a really beautiful thing, because it's really inner work also. That's the thing. So hopefully during the week, especially this inner friend, you know, coming into relationship like this with the little ones inside, accepting that even while you're walking around, you know, sitting by yourself, you can always say, what's going on? How's everybody? How's everybody doing? So that you start, you know, that it's not just out here. Yes, there you have an inner life. And it's just discovering that. And the way, one of the most important tools for discovering it is that inner friend. Because just like in the world, if somebody is hostile toward you, you're certainly not going to open up and come forward. You just won't. You know, it's like your system doesn't allow that, unless you're a therapist. If you're a therapist, then you have this enclosed time and you can be totally open. But if you're just a human being walking around, interrelating with people, you're not necessarily playing that role of being open and caring and receiving, you know, hatred or dislike or these type of things. You just kind of move away and move on. So that inner friend in toward your own little ones inside is necessary for them to come forward, or for your own problems and insecurities and hatreds and smallness and all of the things that you suffer from because of hurts, really, for to be able to really be present to all of those things in a way that is healing requires that love like respect. Requires that. And you have it. We're usually not used to turning that inner, that friendship or that love inward. We know about and have a value for being that way outward, but we don't even know that we're not doing that inwardly. There are things like we should know that, you know, but we don't. But once you do know that, the psyche becomes so appreciative. Just like you appreciate people outside who love you and care about you and like you. It's such a wonderful thing. It makes the life, really, that you have people who love you, that really like you, that like to be with you, that respect you. That makes your life, you know. Inwardly, it makes your life too. So the thing is now during these weeks, make it real so that it just becomes second nature to you. Such a blessing. In fact, all the years of, for me, of teaching and being also being a therapist and teaching at the school, the university, this being learning how to be an inner friend and how to come into relationship with what's going on inside is what the one thing that people come back year after year saying, this has helped me so much. It's helped me so much. And you know what? I find everybody passes it on. You always pass on what is really helpful, you know, what has really blessed you. You find yourself naturally passing those things on. So this is a one, if there's this kernel that is available to all beings, they don't have to be a Vedantin for it. It's available to us. Here it is. It's such a wonderful thing. And it creates a whole different way of being inside. You know, like a beautiful home, like having a beautiful home, but filled with people who care about you, rather than criticize you or attack you or don't like you or think you're stupid and all this horrible stuff. You know, we can be so free of that when your mind has a deep shanti and it becomes naturally meditative. That's the thing. We meditate, but you want your mind just to be naturally meditative, have natural shanti. So this is so, so helpful for that. Pep talk.